Okay. You know, we've been talking about discipleship, that the fact that God wants us to live a powerful, abundant, and passionate kingdom kind of life. And where we're not only free, or we're not only forgiven, but in fact we are free from the bondage of sin, and we're able to live in God's miraculous strength. And to a point where we are able, in fact, able to desire what Jesus desires and will what God wills for us. And it's not like where Romans chapter 7 talks about where you know what is right to do, but you just can't get yourself to do it. I mean, what we read this morning in Romans 8, that's the kind of life where what God intends for us, that we are empowered by the Spirit so that we are literally free from the bondages of sin. But the thing is, this kind of life is not automatic. We talked about it doesn't just happen. God has given us all the resources. He has given us His grace, His power. But we need to be able to step out, actually start living it, start practicing it, and surrender all the old self, every aspect of our old selves to God so that God can take over. And Paul says, last week we learned that Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 27, that everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. So he's saying that Christian life is a life of training, learning how to follow after Christ. He says, Paul says, I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave. And then we have a culture where we become slaves to our bodies. We obey our thirst, right? And we just give in to whatever desire, whatever feels good, we do it. No, that's not the way. We need to beat our body so that it obeys us. It becomes a slave to us and to Christ. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tale. Rather, train yourself. Train yourself to be godly. And for physical training has some value, but godliness has value of all things. That's what we talked about last week. But the thing is, as we look into spiritual disciplines and training, how to follow Christ, we've got to remember, these trainings is not a sign of you are a spiritual Christian, you're a super Christian or anything like that, that you're more special, you're stronger than others. In fact, this is an indication that we need Christ. We are weak, we are struggling, and we need more of Christ. And this is a way to connect deeper with Christ. It's all about God's grace. It's not like I'm able to do it because I have stronger willpower. In fact, I come before God and surrender and say, I cannot do it. But your grace can empower me. Grace is about power. It's more than just forgiveness. It's about power to be able to live the kind of life that God has for us. But the thing is, I will never experience that kind of powerful grace unless I'm willing to take a step of faith, step out to experience it. So we must train. And that's why last week we started to talk about two general categories of training. Remember we talked about disciplines of abstinence or surrender. Disciplines of abstinence or surrender. Dealing with sense of commission. We train in these areas of surrender. Dealing with sins that we commit, that we act out, that we choose to engage in. So that's one type of discipline. The other discipline that we talked about is the disciplines of engagement or disciplines of activity, meaning we actively do something to deal with sins of omission, things that we neglect or fail to do. Okay. So I'm gonna give you some examples of how this kind of training works, because it's kind of vague. Like what does spiritual discipline have any practical implication in my life? Let me give you one example. Something that we've been talked about, I think, quite frequently now in the past year, it's the issue of pornography, pornographic addiction. I know this is very pervasive amongst men. And the scary thing is that it's becoming a lot more pervasive even among women. So what can a person who goes online and just, you know, be addicted to pornography and then masturbates to fulfill their own sexual urges. What do we do? What are some of the specific disciplines that we can engage in to help us experience victory and help us step into the power of God's grace that brings freedom? Okay. So first of all, we see that this is a sin of commission, right? This is a sin that we engage in, that that we actively do. We act out. You're going into active viewing pornography and masturbation. So the body and the urges has become the master. And we become slaves to these kind of urges. And it's controlling a person's thoughts and actions and behavior. Now, if you were to tell yourself, okay, I'm just going to stop cold turkey. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to will myself into, you know, breaking away from this addiction. Chances are that you will not have enough willpower. I mean, most people say that. Say, I'm going to just stop. But you just kind of keep falling back to it. Maybe you have enough willpower to stop yourself for a couple of days. Maybe for a week. And you feel like, wow, it seems like I'm doing better. And then when you're sad or depressed or when you run into some issues and problems, you just kind of gave in again. Right? That's the pattern over and over again we see. The thing is, we're too weak. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough strength to just kind of break these kind of addictive cycle. It's like me, you know, when I was in high school, never lifted weight before, and just lie down on a bench and put 300 pounds, you know, and I was trying to bench. It's impossible. I cannot do it. And that's what we try to do all the time, trying to break our own addictive cycles. We just cannot do it. So with the sin of commission, we need to practice, learn how to abstain. So we engage in practices or disciplines of abstinence. Practicing surrender your body and your thoughts to God a little bit at a time so that you grow and learn how to use the power and engage in the power of God's grace so that a little bit at a time you surrender to a point where your body is free. Okay? So some of the things, very practical things that you can do is maybe instead, and you probably cannot just get yourself to stop right away, but maybe you can practice by going on a media fast. Tell yourself, I'm not going to use the internet for 3 days. I'm just going to unplug the DSL cable for 3 days. Or more, maybe a week. You know, see how much you can do in the beginning. Maybe just for a few days to start with. Well, I'm not going to watch any TVs or movies. Or play computer games, or listen to secular. Just go on a media fast, because a lot of times these things are interrelated. Right? A lot of the music we listen to are not the best, most wholesome music. They actually put a lot of images in your head about behaviors that you know you do not want to engage in. TVs, movies, same thing. Go on a media fast, or train your body and your urges and submit your appetite to God. Right? That's what we're trying to do. Instead of giving in to these urges, we submit it unto God. So maybe you can start with that. Periodic training. Okay, just like, you know, I cannot lift 300 pounds, but maybe I can start with 135. And then later on, 150. And then 200 and 300. Right? So you train yourself. And then maybe, so you start with the media fast. And later on, maybe you can move into a solid food fast. For further training, so that your body submit under God's will. Because, you know, part of the problem with a sense of commission, especially with things like addiction and pornography, is that you give in to your body's urges. You feel like your body is telling you what you ought to do. Well, food is probably one of the most, I mean, common things, right? When you're hungry, you just want to grab something to eat. But you're teaching your body your urges. You know, you tell your body, this urge does not control me. And I want to submit this urge under the control of God. So when you step out into faith and fast, you realize, I think oftentimes, you realize how weak you really are. How controlled you are by your body's urges. Your body, your stomach starts to growl and you feel like you're famished. You know, it's a zone mind trick, because we can literally go for days without any food and we have so much reserve. We will not die, okay? We will not die, but even though you feel like you're going to die. But you will not, because our body has become our masters. And then we realize how much we are enslaved by our physical body. But God says, you are, in fact, you need to be, your body should be your slave. But the body makes a good servant, but not a very good master. Okay, so when we surrender to God and ask for His strength, His power, His spirit well, it will enable us to show us that in fact there is a source, another source of satisfaction, another source of power, and that is from God. So that's the sin of engagement. So we practice the disciplines of abstinence. But now, if you look at this issue of online pornography and masturbation, it's actually also a sin of omission, a sin of being disconnected with real relationships, being disconnected from God and His people. It's also a sin of omission, failure to build real relationships with people and with God. Okay, so because what ends up happens is that when we look at people, when we view especially members of the opposite sex, we don't view them as individual, as people anymore, more like objects. And also we're refusing to come to God for our satisfaction. That's a disconnection. That's a sin of omission. We're not building healthy and soul-nourishing relationship with God and with people. So to address this aspect of struggle, you can practice the disciplines of engagement. You actively engage in something to help you connect with sources of real satisfaction. So fellowship is very crucial. Fellowship with other believers, with having accountability relationship with someone of the same gender is absolutely crucial. And this is crucial, in fact, for all believers, but it's especially important for people that are struggling with addictive behavior, because your tendency is you want to run away, you want to disconnect more. But in fact, this is the very time we need to connect with people. Okay, and worshiping in the presence of God with God's people, that's another must. We need to engage in places and activities that we will find direct satisfaction from God. Because if you just say, you know, I'm going to abstain, I'm going to surrender, you might be able to succeed for a while, but unless your emptiness is filled up by what is real, what is true, what is good, what is beautiful, you're just going to fall right back into the same sins. Remember Jesus told about the story of the parable of a person who cleans up his house. He has a demon possessing him, and so the demon is out, he cleans up his house. But then the demon comes back in and says, wow, your house is cleaned up. I'm going to go find seven other ones and come and make your situation even worse. And that's what happens if we do not practice, in this case, if we do not practice the disciplines of engagement where we are filled with relationship with people and with God, we're going to fall even worse. Okay. So these are some... This is just one example when dealing with pornographic addiction and masturbation. I'm going to give you another example that's kind of my own personal training in spiritual disciplines. As many of you know, and I've been sharing, is that my biggest struggle, my biggest area of sin, I think is something that I've struggled all my life. It's about pride, and a lot of that is coming from the sense of self-sufficiency. And related to this sin of pride is you know, thinking that, you know, I can do it all by myself. I don't need to depend on anybody else. And in fact, because of that, I'm relationally disconnected from people and become unapproachable and just come before people and pretend that I'm all good. I'm all well. And I'm all perfect and so forth, but in fact, that's not the case. So how do I overcome this? You know, because I cannot just tell myself, I want to be humble. You know, I just tell myself, Tim, be humble. I mean, well, the most that will happen when I tell myself to do that is I'll just pretend to be humble, right? It's very, very easy to put on a facade. But it's just, in fact, it's getting worse. Because I'm pretending even more, pretending to be humble, so that I don't look like I'm not humble, and so it's a whole cycle again, and I'm powerless because my nature, I'm degenerate, I'm sinful. See, but God is teaching me slowly how to train and empower me so that change is coming from within. So that humility is not something that is acted out. And so here are some of my regimens. The practice of slowing, I talked about it about this, I think, a couple of years ago. The practice of slowing, the disciplines, is a discipline of abstinence, helping me to learn to depend not on myself, but much more on God. So one of the things I try to do is when I drive on the freeway, I try to drive 65. Okay, nope, don't pass the speed limit, and I know that's kind of slow, and so people, you know, passing me left and right, and I usually don't stay on the fast lane, obviously, because you get in trouble. So I try to stay on the right side. But if you don't stay on the right side, people still pass me on the right. You know, so I try to just slow down, literally slow down, so that I'm not trying to use my own power to take care of things. Even driving on a surface street, except that one time when I passed Minnie. When I cut off. But it's a practice of slowing that helps me realize that, you know, am I in such a rush, feeling like I'm so important, I must do this and do that. You know, just taking time away for me to do things, having less time, meaning I have to trust God and to accomplish more. However, the sinful nature still took over when I tried to practice this discipline of slowing. So I began to find productive ways when I'm slowing down, so that I can do more when I'm slowing, when I'm trying to slow down. And as you know, I become very obsessive about listening to audiobooks. And because I don't want to waste any time, you know. So I'm slowing. That means I have more time to listen to books. So I'm still being productive. That's kind of like my rationalization, right? So one day God convicted me, saying, you know, you're slowing, but you're still doing a lot. You know, so I want you to slow down even more, and just do nothing. And I just want you to drive and listen to me instead of listening to these books, and you know, even listen to like audio Bible or something, you know. So that has become part of my training as well. And now I don't do it every day or whenever I drive, but once in a while I'll just say, you know, I'm just going to put away whatever. I'm just going to listen to God when I drive. So after some training, I felt that God is pushing me more even, and to stop trusting in my own performances and my own abilities to instead experience how much He can accomplish when I trust in Him. So I begin the practice of slow reading. For many years, I practiced speed reading. And I was reading a lot of books, you know. And recently, God is telling me, I need you to practice slow reading. So that it's not like I'm trying to fill my mind with all these knowledge, but instead practice reading as slow and interact with God and see what God wants to say as I'm reading. And the amazing thing is that I find myself, in fact, much more productive each time I engage in these, even though these are very hard initially. But these are not outrageous things that it's impossible for me to do. And I'm just starting a little, you know, slow steps. As you can see, there's a progression to it. As I try something and God comes in with the power to enable me, he would also say, okay, I think you're ready for more. So he'll push me a little bit further. And he'll give me more power to experience. And the result is that I'm less, you know, irritated. I'm not rushing all the time. And I, in fact, find myself have more patience with my kids, or I may be able to listen to Penny better and be a bit better husband. And I find new power in my prayer, and I'm feeling that God is a lot closer. That God is, in fact, wanting to do a lot more, and He is doing a lot more when I'm able to just say, you know, God, I'm just going to listen to You and see what You want to do. Yeah, so the best thing of all is actually I can feel God. And God's always there, but I just couldn't feel Him because I'm trying so hard to take care of everything myself. I couldn't feel Him pushing Him out. So God is no longer a set of theological beliefs or ideas. He becomes real. He becomes personal. So as you can see, that in our lives, you know, and in all lives of these Christian heroes, training and pursuing are essential. We must do it. We got to train, right? And you cannot do it. You can't just lift that 300 pounds. You got to build up to it. Right? You got to build up to it. And we got to pursue God. Right? We got to pursue God. Run after Him. We got to pursue after Him. And this kind of pursuing and training are essential because I think we in the church today, we really have a twisted and really shallow understanding of what salvation is about. Because this concept has really, I think, detrimental effect on us as Christians today. When we think of salvation by grace, and in fact, it's preventing us from being Christ-like. And I'm gonna read a passage from A.W. Tozer that talks about how our contemporary concept of what salvation by grace has really shortchanged us. And this is what he says. He says, "How tragic that we, in this dark day, have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. Everything is made to center upon the initial act of accepting Christ, a term, incidentally, which is not found in the Bible. And we are not expected thereafter to crave any further revelation of God in our souls. We have been snared into the coils of a spurious logic which insists that if we have found Him, we need no more seeking Him. The stiff and wooden quality of our religious lives as a result of our lack of holy desire," look at these words, holy desire, "complacency is a deadly foe to our spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present, or there will be no manifestation of Christ to His people." So we need to pursue, we need to train, we need to desire. That's actually very crucial. So that initial act of salvation, it's only a beginning point. But we think that that's all there is. That's what grace is about, just the forgiveness of sin. No, grace is empowerment to live. Right? So the impulse to pursue God originated from God. But the working out of that impulse, the old A.W. Tozer, right? The working out of that impulse is our following hard after Him, following hard after God. So we have twisted the concept of salvation by grace so much that we have kind of reduced God's grace only to forgiveness. But grace is so much more than that. It's not just about the forgiveness of sins. We're going to look at several passages here. You see that forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness is there, but there's so much more. It's about power. Grace is about power for you to transform and live. Acts 4:33, look at this. It says, "With great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." How is God's grace powerfully at work? It's not like powerfully forgiving all the time. No, it's powerfully enabling to do things that they were not able to do before. So now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. That's what he was able to do because of God's grace. Literally, miraculous signs and wonders. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling to perform signs and wonders. Same thing. It's a grace that has impact, visual, real impact. Ephesians 3:7, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power." Same thing, the grace here is not just forgiveness. It is forgiveness, but it's so much more. It's the working out of His power. So, and we can't experience the fullness of God's grace and power when we step out, when we work out and pursue after God. But we will never taste it if we just kind of sit there and say, "Well, God, do something. You know, do something. I'm waiting." You need to step out and experience it. We need to step out and experience it. So training and pursuing is essential. Training and pursuing is essential in experiencing God's grace. So that's this morning, let's try a little bit, okay? Let's try to experience this a little bit, exercising. And I think this experience will show us, I think, several things. One is how weak we really are spiritually and how lack of discipline. It's like, you know, when you first start working out, you feel like, oh man, I really couldn't lift a whole lot. And the next day you feel like, oh man, I'm sore all over. I cannot move for a week, you know. And I think if we start to practice, you initially feel like, realize how lack of exercise, you know, lacking in exercise we really are. And how out of shape we are spiritually. So this is what we're going to do this morning. For the next 5 minutes, I'm going to time us for 5 minutes. We're going to practice one discipline of abstinence, and that is the discipline of quietness or solitude. I know you cannot really be alone per se, but you can do that by just closing your eyes. So for the next 5 minutes, we're not going to have no music, no sound, no speaking, no reading the Bible, or just close your eyes, you and God, right now. 5 minutes of quietness. And this is what you're going to do all these 5 minutes. Just keep your thoughts focused on God. Keep your thoughts focused on God. Okay? All right, so next 5 minutes from now. So how did you guys feel? Do you find your thoughts like keep wandering and come back? Oh, I'm supposed to be thinking about God. Or maybe some of you fell asleep. It's like, wow, that's a nice nap for 5 minutes. maybe you thought, well, is that God or is that just my imagination? And I think some of us might feel like, oh, what am I supposed to be thinking about? God, okay, so how do I even think about God for 5 minutes? That's kind of long. I think it's just, you know, I'm sure you find all kinds of distracting thoughts flying around your mind and just keep trying to pull it back. Oh, but maybe some of you sense a great, you know, feeling of peace, of rest. Or maybe some of you actually felt that God was able to speak to you in some ways. Or maybe God, sometimes I find out a lot of times in these experiences, something just makes sense that didn't make sense before. It's like God give you a clarification or an illumination of something that intends you to understand. Or sometimes passages, scriptures will come to mind and that deal with specific needs that I'm experiencing. And this is, you know, and I was thinking, if I'm not able to spend 5 minutes just thinking solely on God and hear Him. Or maybe if I dedicate 5 minutes here Sunday morning and I'm not able to hear God, how am I going to hear God on the rest of the day when I'm doing all these busy work? Right? I think, and sometimes a lot of us feel that we are not able to, we don't sense God with us throughout the day. And how, and you long to have that closeness with God every minute of your life. And the thing is, you're never going to experience it unless we start training with things like this, just setting aside a few minutes, 5 minutes, you know, once in a while throughout the day, just come before God and listen. I think if you begin there, I mean, setting aside 5 minutes to listen to God, it's much easier to do than trying to sense God every second of your life. I mean, that's not right. So you start with something that is easier that you can do right now. And that's what spiritual disciplines are all about. So starting next week, we're going to talk about more specific disciplines and what we can do. Things like confession. This is a discipline of surrender. Confession, solitude, fasting. And these will help us deal with a lot of our sins of commission. Things like addiction, things like anger, abusive behavior, controlling behavior, negative attitudes, abusive attitudes, or even things like worry and anxiety. Because I believe that this God has ways for us to experience His grace, and we can start training and listening to Him. Okay, so this week, let's try that. Try to do, just have 5 minutes set aside once in a while throughout the day just to listen. Listen to God. Come before God and rest. We talked about rest a little bit last week. Let's practice that. more this week. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your grace is available for us to experience. Your grace is available to empower us to begin living this abundant life. And Lord God, we want to step out in faith and trust that you will come through for us. Lord, we're sick and tired of living, being enslaved by our bodies, by our desires, by our sins, and suffer this inability to do what we know is right. So God, I pray that as we step out in training this week, you will come with the abundance of your power, your spirit. Transform us, Lord, as we surrender to you. And Lord God, you know that many of us here today are just struggling with all kinds of addictions and inabilities to overcome many of our sins. Many of us are just deep in our neck with worries and fears and anxieties. And we're acting, living a life that is totally irrational because of these worries and fears. We're just buried under the weight of all these things. God, I pray that you will help us find freedom as we seek after you through these practices. God, I pray that you also remind us that the practices are not the end, but you are the ultimate end. These practices just means for us to get to connect with you. Come amongst your people, Lord God. In Christ's name we pray.